There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday, the Friday Eve edition of the show. Glad to have y'all here. Phone number and the text line, both 343-0106, 343-0106. As we get started here, we will take a look at what is happening, of course, in the clash with the Supreme Court over the... What I've seen today is like the hypotheticals. I think we have one story about what if... President Trump wanted to use SEAL Team 6 to kill a political opponent if they were corrupt. Now there's another one about, you know, like a coup. Here's what I would like for the attorney to do. It's just bring up other, like, all right, justices. This is why one of the umpteen reasons, big buckets full of reasons I couldn't have this, couldn't have that job. But as an attorney, I would say, okay, well, what if, justices, if you could... What if you could speak to animals, but they only spoke in pig Latin? Or like, what if only that blimps were the new air travel? If blimps versus airplanes became our dominant air travel, what would the skies look like? I mean, you should get some coverage on that. John, do you think you'd cover that if you heard the attorney was asking the justices questions like that?
Well, I didn't catch the beginning there, Sean. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying they got the hypothetical questions rolling out today in the Supreme Court, right? They're asking like, well, could President Trump, if he wanted to, you know, use SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival if they were corrupt? Or, that, you know, there are all these different hypotheticals that are rolling out. And this is why I can't be in that position of attorney or let alone, be, you know, being in front of the Supreme Court. I would come up with questions like, and what if... You could speak to animals, but they only spoke in pig Latin or whatever, you know, and then I'd be kicked out of the, get kicked out of the courtroom quickly. So it's your side.
Or we'd be all in there for a very long time. Yes.
Oh, Sullivan's got some more hypotheticals he's rolling out. John, good to talk to you. It's my friend John Sharp from Mail.com, y'all. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, and I yesterday talked about one of your stories up right now over at AL.com. That went through the, you know, discussion here of what was laid out in the 100-some-odd page paper report here from Kenyon Brown and others on Mobile Police Department. I want to talk about that and also your latest here. You said there these are the six cases in report blasting Mobile's police use of force. First of all, the overall report. I did get stuck yesterday on the cursing thing, that seemed to be like some kind of big deal. I would say that would be the least of the worries if officers cursing or not. But what's your take in the overall? What are you hearing?
So, yes, very. It's a long document. It's out there for anybody to look at now. It's 100 pages. There's the immediate reaction. I think a lot of people are still digesting it. It's 100 pages. It was just released the other day. But I think the immediate reaction is that, there's concerns about some inaccuracies within it. There's some concerns about a different viewpoint than others might have about some of these incidences that occurred. But I think that, you know, there is some awareness, at least on the police department's position right now, is that there are some recommendations that they're taking a look at and they're going to take seriously. There is a committee that's been formed, according to a statement from the interim police chief, that there's been two committees actually formed to help determine different paths forward with regards to this report that's come out. Now, we also got an email that was attended just for the police department, but it was forwarded to all the media, indicating that there is a also another report supposedly coming out as well, an internal report from the police command staff. So, you know, we'll wait and see what that has to say. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be a public report or if it'll go to the police department and then be subsequently released to the media. I'm not even sure when that's going to come out. But at any rate, there has been some criticism directed at the report. And even the mayor made a comment that, you know, there wasn't everything in the, you know, he didn't agree with everything that was in the report either. He'd taken some issues with it. But he didn't get into details at all. I mean, that was some concluding remarks made late on Tuesday. And again, the press conference discussing the report was at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. And Kenyon Brown went point by point on all the cases that were mentioned, the six cases, and went into detail. And again, we were there for well over an hour. So, a lot of this is still being digested.
Yeah, John, I was so much to talk about in this. As I was watching it, one takeaway was as these issues were laid out by Kenyon Brown on these other cases, but at the conclusion he was saying, but this was, I don't know if he used legal or constitutional, I don't know the right word, I don't have a quote here, but I mean, he would talk about the problems here in it, and then he would say, but this is not a legal, you know what I'm talking about, that part, I don't know what word he used, but I mean, that was okay.
Right, there were some concerns about unconstitutional mm-hmm. behavior, constitutional violations of some of the folks at some of these scenes of these, you know, the pre-dawn raids. In particular, the one that stuck out to me was the one on Cordell Jones. I remember that incident clearly. And there were some concerns about how family members were apparently detained and taken to police headquarters. They were innocent, including a six-year-old in that particular process. How that materialized. I know those questions were raised there.
Yeah, I mean, that part of it, yeah, and I want to get into those. I think it's important, those six cases, but at his conclusion, at least it's my memory, he would talk about those and how these things you're delineating we'll come back to that were wrong here, but at the end of it, he is not to be recommended the DOJ. It was not a legal, you know, action in with those suspects dying. I mean, he concludes that there, you know, that there's not a, but this, he's saying this is not the best it could be, but this was legal. And I keep not using the right word maybe, but.
I even asked him during the press conference. I said, you know, given that, you know, there's some allegations in here of unconstitutional activity, should the Department of Justice be brought in to do an investigation? And his comment was, well, you know, if the police department takes action now and looks at, you know, and gets ahead of some of these issues, you know, there should be no reason for the DOJ to be called in.
So, I mean, that is at, you know, because if there was something that was at a level that was so high, he would say, well, yes, or this was, you know, this was a criminal act in the death of this suspect. But he didn't. He'd say the things that were wrong there, but his conclusion was that they were still legal.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that was.
But that was my takeaway. I'm stretching for the word here. But in other words, right. He didn't say in case one, the department should, you know, be investigated because this was, you know, this was. I mean, if it was something that was that big of a malfeasance, he would say DOJ has to come in and, you know, take over the police department, all those things, which he didn't say.
Right. He did not. There was no indication in the report nor during the press conference that there needs to be a federal investigation brought in on the Mobile Police Department. His comment was basically, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here what his statement was, but it was has to do with regards to that, you know, action should be taken. You know, the police department needs to look into some of these issues. You know, basically, if they do nothing, then, you know, that could create concern and potentially DOJ then brought in. But if there are certain activities that are done and committees, you know, apparently a committee, again, the police department looks like it's taken some of this stuff seriously by forming these committees to start looking into some of the allegations, but or to address some of these issues. But with regards, you know, so that was his comment, you know, take action now or, you know, this could happen down the line, you know, potentially could happen.
Okay, so in these six cases, and I think in your first story you'd written, what came out of the document from him. Number one, a series of unnecessary deaths of black men. I don't know why so much of this is this policy. If the question is change the policy, is there some specific policy that is specifically wrong for black men versus white men? You see what I'm saying? Like when I hear that, is it the practice of the police department or is it something else? Is there how could you change that policy and say, oh, well, in this case, it's this policy for black men, this policy for white men? I mean, it seems like the policy is the policy, right?
Right, that's correct. I did, the sense I got, and you mentioned the profanity thing, and yes, I know there's been some eyeball rolling with regards to the mayor's initial comments about Chief Prine in regards to profanity. Well, police officers are in the heat of the situation, they're going to say curse words. But what, if you read further into the report, I think there's more to the story there that, using this profane language apparently is a policy and use of force that's a little bit more uniform throughout that could be viewed as an aggressive tactic by a police officer towards a suspect that could lead into more problems. Like, for instance, I think one of the cases involved the allegations of a suspect grabbing a police officer by the groin and twisting. Mm-hmm. And there's been questions raised on whether or not that really happened. But if you,
you're talking about making me cuss, you want to hear me say some cuss words, do that to me,
But the whole situation started with pulling, apparently from a tinted window incident. And so that seems kind of minor. How did it lead into this big ordeal? And then, if you read the report, it sounded like there was some language that was, from the police officer that was viewed as aggressive that led to this situation going down the path that it went. So I think that's kind of where the takeaway is, with regards to that particular policy and procedure. There's apparently a certain way to present, a police officer should present themselves instead of, engaging in a suspect that might be viewed as aggressive, which using curse words and saying certain things. If I said certain things to you on the phone right now, you'd be like, you'd hang up because that's, viewed as a certain aspect of aggression. So,
well,
yeah,
I have a license to defend here. If you say it on the cell phone when you call me later, I don't care. But I wouldn't want it to be, this is like almost like a zero tolerance thing, right, that they have in schools that I think is dumb. That I do not want members of the Mobile Police Department pulling somebody over for a stop sign running or, something or whatever, suspicion of whatever, and start, dropping F-bombs everywhere. I don't want that. But at the same time, if there's just been a chase or there's just been they're not complying and they're wrestling around this and that, if an officer cusses, in my list of things, in my triage list, that is so far down the list of things I'm worried about. I guess, it's like, they said in the report there, they were talking about Juwan Dallas, and they said, even though, and I'll have it in front of me, but even though he resisted, did this, that, the other, he never used curse words against the officers. Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm an officer, I'd rather a guy cuss at me and comply than use polite language and not comply. You give me my choice, Sticks and stones, those break bones. Words, they don't hurt you.
Well, yeah, that's one of the, the cursing, though, is one of the issues that were brought up in the report. When we go into Juwan Dallas, too, there's more to the story as far as how things were handled. This has been discussed at length. Love to see the body cam footage. That's never been released. Yeah. But when you read this and we've heard the secondhand reports, it kind of match up now that, that he was in a situation of medical distress, and there's a lot of questions of whether or not that medical activity occurred in a prompt fashion. And I think those questions are being raised, and that's the reason we got a federal lawsuit against the city right now. And so we'll see how that all shakes out.
You quoted Chief Prine in your story, the first one that, 2 days ago. You said, Prine said, it's a farce report. It was nothing more but to oust the chief of police and make PD the scapegoat so they can make the changes they want to make. Where's that discussion going right now? Because it seems like we're focused on the report, and then there are these other things that seem to be orbiting that report. The question of the Gulf Coast Intelligence Center, or, you know, questions of the relationship and the chain of command at the city of Mobile. You know, those seems like to orbit this report. Do you get anything more on that? And then we've got to figure out what's the city council going to do. So first, do you hear anything about those other outside the report issues?
And the outside of the report issues is something that the Mobile City Council is going to probably next week or the week after. It's hard to tell exactly when they're going to vote on this, but they want to vote on a third party to come in and do an investigation into the chief's allegations. Now, Council President C.J. Small, during the pre-conference meeting on Tuesday, said he would like to see the chief go to the district attorney's office, to perhaps the U.S. attorney's office with his concerns if there was any criminal activity, and bring those issues up with them. Because even if they go to the city council to hire an outside investigator to investigate all the chief's allegations and it results into some sort of allegation of a crime, it still has to be forwarded to those authorities. And what Councilman Small is worried about is engaging in a potentially expensive third-party investigation at the taxpayers' expense to go looking into all these claims. Now, Chief Prine has indicated that he may do that, but he hasn't finalized that decision yet. But the council's posed with that decision, whether or not to hire a third party to come in and investigate some of the chief's claims that have been all over the media in the last 2 weeks. Then the city council will be voting on Tuesday as well whether or not to terminate the police chief. He has been on administrative leave for less than a month, but I'm going to say 3 weeks now. And the mayor's recommendation is that this is not a tenable situation anymore, that they remove him. So that's kind of where we're at with those issues. That'll all come up on Tuesday. And the council made a lot of remarks. I mean, they made a lot of statements, especially during pre-conference meeting on Tuesday, about, you know, kind of where they stand on this issue.
Yeah, it seems like that may be the one thing the two sides are agreed on, that he's not coming back to work as a police chief, right? I mean, that's one thing that I don't think is not debated out there.
And this was really new territory for Mobile. I mean, I can't recall any incident. I've been talking to folks who've been here before me, that they can't recall any incident in which you have a high-ranking person in the administration almost overnight come out with these, you know, just letting everybody have it. And that's where the police chief, that's kind of where things have gone. So I think it's been a little bit of whiplash in the community. Folks are a little surprised by this. A month ago, we wouldn't have expected any of this to happen. There was no hint of a deterioration going on. I mean, you usually get these hints as you go. These folks don't get along with each other.
Right.
This literally happened overnight. And
y'all, this is so John and I talking. So kind of our jobs to know things. And you could have knocked me over with a feather. I said when I had Chief Prine in right after that, the announcement, I said, you were just in here 2 weeks ago talking about the turnaround in crime numbers for the city. I said, so imagine my surprise when that happened. I mean, I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, but behind the scenes, there appeared to be a lot going on since November. There had been two grievances filed, and I say grievance, they were emails that were sent to the mayor's office. And the mayor's office has provided us with only one of those emails. They claim that they didn't receive the other one. The one that was given to us was an email that Chief Prine sent in January with the concerns regarding some communication that the executive director of public safety had with one of his subordinates, and so about Chief Prime. So that was one of the grievances that we received. The other one supposedly was made in regards to Chief of Staff Jim Barber, and Chief Prime has indicated that has to do with apparently leaking out some information purportedly in regards to an autopsy report of Jawan Dallas. So, those were going on behind the scenes that we didn't know about. I mean, that was internal at the time.
John, as always, I appreciate your reporting. People keep up with what's going on down at Government Plaza and elsewhere with John's work over at AL.com, or if they want to reach out to you and maybe even talk some preseason football, where they find you on X?
Yeah, at JohnSharp99 on the X, and AL.com for my stories.
Good stuff, John. As always, I appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, Sean.
All right, there he goes, John Sharp, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1227 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Time to get some junk moved. It could be not just at your home, maybe at your office. Yeah, we had tons of filing cabinets here at one time we had to get rid of as well because we, you know, tried to move into the current century and not have the metal filing cabinets. Move more to the digital world, whatever. It could be at your office, storage unit, house you're getting ready to sell. Anywhere you got junk, you need it gone. You need to use my man Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Take my word for it. Take somebody around here's word for it at FM Talk. But also go look at the Google reviews out there. Local folks that you know that take time, that the service was so good, because it's easy to go online and complain. Takes a lot of great service to go online and say, that was pretty great service. Go see all the local Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and it's easy to find them and get that appointment set, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone, call them, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I'll get to the text when we get back from the news here. I will say, in reference to my friend Devin's newscast that's running right now, the story, and I think it was a story in Shimani Baker's as well, it's the Wawa, it's been like 3 days with the Wawa. This is like Bucky's hysteria. It's like Bucky's hysteria, right? When the Bucky's were opening and people, oh, the Bucky, and like every news story for 2 or 3 weeks was Bucky's. Is it, I'll put it this way, without even going on a full screed here, or rant, which you can do later. Be cool. Just be cool, y'all. Right? Just be cool. Like, act like you've been there before. But not Wawa, but I mean, like you've seen something new before. We're an amazing place to live. We got all kind of things to do. You know, don't act like the most exciting thing that could happen is the opening of a new store. I mean, it's a good thing. I hope they're successful. I hope they people get, you know, whatever, Altoids and sandwiches and, you know, drinks. I mean, it's like Bucky's, good for them. No issue there. But this whole idea, like, people were standing in line waiting to get in when they opened it. Like, what? Be cool, y'all. Just act. Be cool. Just chill out a little bit.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. You'll say hello to my buddy David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars. Hey, David.
Hey, bud.
Man, inventory, you're stacking them up here lately. Inventory looks great on the lot.
We've had trucks coming in since last Friday. So, yeah, inventory right now is great, and we're going to go next week probably and buy some more. Financing's good, too. We need to let everybody know the Buy Here, Pay Here program's working real good, so come see us on that. That's something new we're doing. Minimum $500 down to get qualified and need proof of income. Give us a call and give you all the details on that stuff.
Yeah, and the fact that you kind of to say you got inventory and financing too, it's something you've taught me over time that it's not just like, you know, put this block into this hole, right? I mean, you find different people, different lenders, and they work better together.
We've got multiple lenders, and that's the whole great thing about having multiple lenders, because we can fit each customer to the right place. I mean, some people are credit union customers, and they're going to pay single-digit interest rate. And some people, and they know who they are, that had credit problems in the past, they're going to have to go to a different one or do the Buy Here, Pay Here program. So we've got something for everybody. We just need to get them out here and give them an opportunity.
Well, tell them how to get out there. What's the directions?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. There's David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Yeah, like two of the Sullivan fleet vehicles we got from LCM, and mom sold a car to them. So you're selling or buying. Good folks. Go see my buddy David. All right, to the text line now. To the text line. I was just saying be cool. There's some reaction here. People are like, why? I'm just saying act like you've been there before. I mean, the Wawa thing is good. I'm happy. I'm not like anti. Like, there's shows for that where they're like, I can't believe they're doing it. I'm not that show. I'm like, cool. Okay, good. But just as like, do we not have anything else going on here? I remember like Bucky's hysteria. It's kind of going like that now. All right. Yeah, a bunch of texts I got to get to. Sorry about that for my delinquency in texting here. Now, this is good. So this is... So now, is that, was that the end of Jeff's show? I'm not going to comment on your textures. All right. Buddy said, yes, 99 pages were provided to the public. 16 pages were blacked out. Why? I'm sure it was under the direction of Stimson. I don't know that. I think it was under Kenyon Brown, I think, because those were, and believe me, buddy, I was frustrated too. Reading through, you're like, okay, now we're going to get to, you know, the officers said this, and then it's all redacted, and then redacted, redacted. I'm with you. But I think that may have come because of, I think what I heard was when Kenyon Brown and the other people in this paper were interviewing people, I guess this is, okay, I don't have this written down anywhere, but I think I've heard this correctly. Those people weren't aware that this was going to, you know, their quotes were going to be put in the report. And then people said, oh, no, and then they redacted it. I think that's the way it went down. Then Buddy goes on to say, when you had Chief Prine on, he mentioned being offered two different options of a compensation package. After the report came out, he was offered a third option, and this one called for keeping him on as an advisor. Huh? So you're supposed to want him gone because of the job he's done, yet you want to keep him on. I'm seeing hush offer. Dame Yankee said the biggest violation in the independent report is that MPD uses flavorful language that suggests that the report is lacking much substance. The worst language I've ever heard in public is on the sidelines of a high school football game. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's other places, too, we can hear bad language. There are some things that are, I think, definitely worth talking about there and substantive and see what the procedures are. Or is it the best practice that's being done? I think those are fair things to discuss. I don't know that we aren't already. But those are fair things to discuss. It does get off in the silly land to me where, you know, even to the point I said yesterday, we had to have a swear jar, right, down at precinct and at headquarters for MPD. And I just think that's ridiculous. And the other one I keep going back to, and I hope, in one of these further updates to the reports and then the internal, the MPD is doing, that line here, the inability to de-escalate altercations with black suspects, I do want to know what that means. Is it specific to all suspects, but in this case, those six were black? Is it, I mean, I think that's, if you lay that out, then answer it. Tell me what makes that, because the things that in John's first story, breaking down the report, you can do the same, said the six things listed, a series of unnecessary deaths of black men, the beating of a handcuffed suspect, detainment of families, including a six-year-old child, frequent use of swearing, and the inability to de-escalate altercations with black suspects. I'm just wondering why it's specific. Is it because in these six cases they were black, or is there an overall inability to de-escalate with a black suspect, but you can with a white or Asian or whatever, you know, Pacific Islander? I mean, tell me if you roll that out in this report, I want to know then how do you fix that? What's going on? All right, Bob says, Sean, this is preposterous. What in the Sam Hill are we doing now? We're policing the police for saying bad words. For goodness sake, what's next? These jobs are high-level, high-stress type jobs that nobody wants. And yes, sometimes there needs to be expletive words used to get somebody's attention. The world is becoming too soft. Yeah, and I think, Bob, like I said yesterday, I don't think this happens, nor would I want it to happen, that the normal interchange with an officer, like pulling somebody over, like they start cursing at them. I don't think that's great policy, but the fact that there's cursing going on during high-stress things, I mean, come on, really? That's the biggest issue? It does. Bob, I'm with you. It seems like it's, I agree, it is preposterous. And you're talking about using it to get somebody's attention. You know, I tell the old cursing story about my late father, who rarely cursed. I mean, rarely. And so when he did, it was that E.F. Hutton moment. Like, you'd be goofing around, being an idiot, you know, idiot teenage boy. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to do what I want. And then you'd hear a curse word, like one of, like, the maybe seven I ever heard from him. And you get that cold chill in your spine, and you knew it was on. Let's see. Ben says they built the Wawa at the same intersection as Fairhope High School and decided to give the grand opening at 8 a.m. on a school day. Geniuses. Well, that's how you stress test the city, right? See how much they're really interested in you. Fire Dog says they've been to a Wawa a few times in Florida. It's not that great. I mean, it's fine. I'm sure it's like, I've been to Wawa's up in Pennsylvania, and they're fine. They're fine. I'm not anti-Wawa. I just want everybody to be cool around here, act like you've seen something before. Let's see here. This texture says, yeah, well, my bowling alley got shot up, and now it's closed, so the Wawa is pretty exciting. Lighten up, Sean. I'm light, like a butterfly. Dirt Taker says, Sean, you need to open a new restaurant slash charging place called Sparky's. Fill your gut while you charge your car. There's a, you know, I mean, when you, will it be in competitive, what will the rates be for electric charging stations? Will it be competitive going forward, right? If we get there by the actual marketplace, or we get there by government mandate and picking winners in this combustion fuels versus electric. And I'm not against electric cars. I think it could be cool. Of course, you still have to burn, you know, coal or natural gas to make the electricity to then put into the vehicles. But they do say it's more efficient long term, more efficient use of the fuels, you know, to get that electricity. But will it be, will there be like, if we have lots of electric cars on the road, will they be riding by a place that says it's so-and-so dollars a kilowatt to charge, you know, and the place across the street will lower its price? Will we see, like, gas price wars, but will it happen in electricity? I'm interested. I mean, what would that look like? Has anybody, is that going on, like, in California or something, where they're in a heated electricity war out here as, you know, drivers are picking one station over another because their charging rates are lower? I know a lot of places, like, in urban settings, like they're comping, you know, the electricity. Well, that's not a real market then. What's the electricity? What's it going to cost? I think the two questions there will be, what's it cost per, and I don't know if they'll do by watt, how they'll do it, and how much and how fast you can get it done. All right. Roy in Spanish Fort said, concerning advertisement against gambling, I'm starting to equate traditional values to suppression of freedom at this point in time. Oh, you think the ad about the neon light casinos, as long as they don't have neon lights, they're fine. I do hear, but that's, you know what, though? That's people expressing they don't want casinos and other people want casinos, and let them debate it. That's what it's about. As long as it stays in the realm where it can be debated and the legislature would actually listen to it, that's a different thing. Okay, so now I'm getting pictures from the Wawa. This is Jeff in Fairhope. He said, this is Wawa right now. He's showing, I guess, a crowded parking lot, not the place to go if you only get 30 minutes for lunch. Give it, just be cool. Give it a couple weeks and then, you know, people will move on to something new. There'll be some new kind of thing open. Oh, Adam is spot on too. Adam said the same thing happens when the first Publix opened in Mobile. I remember that whole process too. I was like, y'all be cool. It's a grocery store. They're down in Florida. You been in them? People are like, man, it's Publix. They got, it's a nice store. It's fine. It's good. I don't know it's worth like standing in line in front of somewhere. And now there's more pictures of Wawa coming in. Y'all, go back to work, please. And then Tebow said, I would. By the way, if Wawa, you're new to town, there's a lot of satire on this show. And T-Bone, a master of it, said, I went by the Wawa, and the language there was reprehensible. See, there you go. So put that in the report.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, phone number around here, 343-0106. Also works for a text here on Midday Mobile and all of the other shows that populate 7 days a week a live broadcast around here. So 343-0106. May want to even drop it in your contacts list. You don't want to call today, but maybe Bill Finch is going to be talking tomatoes or you know, something you're interested in on Sunday, or maybe during Prep Sports Report, or maybe even you harass Dan and Dalton during Mobile Mornings or Jeff Poor. There's been so many shows to chime in on. Keep that number handy. I got a note here. First of all, heads up. It's May 12th. Those of us lucky to still have our mamas, or have a, you know, mama to honor in your life, it's Mother's Day coming up on the 12th. Do not forget. Then I get this note from my buddy Clint Jameson over at Adventurous Bicycles, where I got my e-bike that I still like ride weekly, that I love. He said, hey, Sean, I got a Mother's Day sale going on. This is cool. All adult three-wheelers, which he's got. Now, you hear that, and you're like, all right, Pawpaw. But he's got some of these, if you go in the shop, that are pretty cool. The all-adult three-wheel bicycle, three-wheelers, cruisers, and e-bikes for mom are on sale. right now. New shipment in of the Denago e-bikes. Those are really good-looking bikes. The Jamis Earth Cruisers, the Sun three-wheelers, all in right now, and special pricing on them for Mother's Day. He said the electric three-wheelers, he said, I got a few that are not pre-sold. They're going on the floor for sale. So I guess a bunch of them had pre-sales on them, but he's got a few of those three-wheelers, electric three-wheelers, that will go on the floor for sale. I think it's like now. He said they're not going to last long, Sean. Let people know. So there you go. Denago folding and cargo e-bikes arrive for RV and campers out there. You know, I've talked about the people who've come to me and said, hey, I hear you talking about e-bikes. We use it with our camper and RV stuff. So Denago has a folding and a cargo version e-bike ready for the RV and campers out there. And the big Mother's Sale promo is the Fuji Sanibel e-cruiser. Regular $1,500 right now, $999. So under $1,000 for a e-bike for mom for Mother's Day sale. And maybe at those prices, you get two while you're at it. Make yourself, make a date out of it, right? So check it out. Adventure Earth Bicycles. Go see my man, Clint. He's in Midtown right there at Airport and Little Flower, kind of catty-cornered across from Bruce Chris. You'll see the big sign, Adventure Earth Bicycles. And you can go to the website, adventure-earth.com. Go see him, get those deals for Mother's Day. All right, to the text line. And by the way, coming up, Dale Leash from Landyap. We could talk to him here in about 10 minutes or so. Jay Bird said, widespread Wawa. That's right. Instead of panic, it's widespread Wawa. And I just played some widespread. How about that? That's probably what prompted that. And also Dalton and I got in a discussion of Wawa pedals earlier, too. Like you, the Wawa store, but like Wawa, like Hendrix and Clapton, George Harrison, and yeah. People use wah-wah pedals, guitarists out there, but not the same. It's a different deal. While we're talking, this is a story I've had like in the loop on hold here in a holding pattern for a while. It's a fugitive file story from Fox 10, and it's just been getting bumped and bumped and bumped. I just want to read through this story as we talk about crime in the city of Mobile. This from WALA from Fox 10. Said, it's another week of Fox 10 News Fugitive Files, and Mobile police need your help in finding a woman wanted for allegedly shooting into an occupied vehicle after two people refused her demands that they pay for her food. So the demand, so the incident happened last Friday, which will be probably two Fridays ago, tomorrow, in a parking lot on the 3000 block of Dolphin Street. According to Mobile Police Department, 35-year-old Stacy Britton confronted two people and demanded that they pay for her meal. When they refused, police say that's when Britton became agitated and things took a turn for the worse. Sergeant Katrina Frazier, PIO over at the police department, said our victim and the other individual went in and sat in their vehicle in the parking lot. That's when Stacy Britton followed them. At that point, they thought the confrontation... She began to get in another confrontation with them. At that point, they thought the confrontation was over when Stacy Britton got in her vehicle and then rammed her vehicle into their vehicle. Then she fled the scene. Frazier said then Britton returned and fired shots into their vehicle. Okay, so according to this fugitive violence report, so they're looking for the Stacy Britton who they said came up at the fast food place and told these people that they should pay for her food. I don't think they're known to each other. I don't know this. And I guess they said no. Then they had a confrontation. Then she rams the vehicle into their vehicle, I guess because of she's hangry or something. Then she comes back and fires shots, pulls a gun that could kill somebody. Like, that's what they do. The guns could kill somebody. Fire shots into their vehicle. So police do say, do not approach her as she's considered armed and dangerous. Instead, call Fox 10 Fugitive Files Crime Stoppers Hotline, 208-7211. It says, if you make that call, you don't have to leave your name. I want to point out one thing, too, here. I'm reading facts in the story, and they show a picture. They show a picture here. Stacy, I think, I want to say she and he, I don't know these days, but she, right? I don't know how she identifies, but looks like a lady, Stacy Britton, black woman here. All right, so there's the description. And then later in the story, they say Britton is 4'11" tall. Okay. Shorter, pretty small, and weighs 180 pounds. So Britton, 4'11", 180. And for some reason, I thought that may have needed to be at the front of the story when they talked about her demanding people buy her food. She's probably hungry. So there it goes. At least I can close that tab I've had open for 10 days. I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that going on. All right, coming back in a few minutes, it's Dale Leach from Lanyap, and we will talk about what we've talked about in the first part of this hour. It's what's happened just this week with Tuesday's report, the 100-page report from Kenyon Brown, and then some of the other moving parts to this. Like I was asking John Sharp, these other stories that seem to be orbiting the report, right? The questions over the Gulf Coast Technology Center, the peer-reviewed but not really peer-reviewed, into what was going on with that and MPD. Then questions about charity groups and who sits on whose board and who's doing reports. So we'll parse that out as best we can when we join with Dale Leach in just minutes after the news. Yeah, so we got 411, 180.